Programs are available on our website, wgtd.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Kenosha County is taking online orders for Spring 2022 Trees. Items are sold on a first-come, first-served basis. Pickup date is in late April at the Kenosha County Center in Bristol. KenoshaCounty.org/trees.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning, and welcome to WGTD's Community Matters. I'm Laura Sumner Kuhn, your host, and I'm delighted this morning to have a dynamic group of people joining us. And I'd like you to learn a little bit more about them, their work in the community, both together and separately in their positions. And we'll start by introducing Pastor Melvin Hargrove. Pastor Hargrove is the Chief Diversity Officer for Racine County. Good morning, Pastor Hargrove.
Good morning, Laura. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the work you're doing at the county?
Sure. I'm a lifelong resident of Racine. And I've been in quite a bit of committees, boards, and all the other good stuff around Racine, just trying to do what I can to help make Racine a better place. I am married. I have been married for, it'll be 35 years in May. I have four children. I always say that, long story. And then I have five grandchildren. And then I've been with the county now for going on 4 years. I've been pastoring in Racine, though, for 23 years. My position now at the county is a chief diversity officer. The chief diversity officer, just a couple of things. It's an internal approach and also an external approach. Basically, what I do is I try to connect with the community and see, if the services that we're offering in the county, are they hitting the mark? Are they impacting like we want them to impact? And if not, how can it get better? But then the internal component is trying to provide a strategic plan and program, to be able to look at race, equity, diversity, and inclusion within the ranks of Racine County. The county executive vision was to have a more inclusive county. I think it's a great vision. And so what I do with that is I'll be looking at programs, I'll be looking at plans, procedures, I'll be looking at contracts, whatever the case may be, to make sure that we're trying to approach how we deal with the county, with our community in an equitable way, in a diverse way, in an inclusive way, even when it comes to not just the community, but also within the county itself.
Thank you. And I know a little bit about that role from our discussion previously, that's a pretty new role. You just started it in January, right?
Yes, just started in January, officially January 1.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. And also with us this morning, we have Nicole McDowell. Nicole is the Executive Director for Engagement and Equity for the Racine Unified School District. Welcome, Nicole. If you could tell us a little about yourself and then your work for Racine Unified.
Well, thank you, Laura, for having me. I am the mother of four adult children, the grandmother of a four-year-old and a one-year-old. I've been in education now for 26 years. In my role in Racine Unified School District, I create and strengthen the district partnerships with our community organization for the purpose of improving educational opportunities for our students. So I serve as that liaison between Racine Unified and the community, working with key stakeholders to build a culture of equity and inclusion for all of our students, our family, staff, and the community as well. I oversee the development, implementation, and the evaluation of the district's equity strategies, as well as overseeing and supervising and managing all things family engagement. We want to make sure our family engagement strategies that we have are sustainable, We work with our families to build their capacity, so to ensure our families are partners in educating our students, and also building the capacity of our staff members as well, so that they understand that they are partners as well with our families in supporting our children in their educational journey.
Thank you. And that equity role is also new for Unified as well, isn't it?
That is correct. This is the first year to have a staff member that is in this role to serve as executive director of equity.
Great. And then we have Dr. Stacia Thompson, who's the executive director of the Sherman Phoenix Foundation. Welcome, Dr. Stacia. Could you tell us a little of yourself and your work with the foundation?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name is Dr. Stacia Thompson. I'm the inaugural executive director of the Sherman Phoenix Foundation. I've been in this role for about 30 days. Prior to that, I actually worked at Gateway Technical College for 8 years and leading up different initiatives. My last role, I was the director of workforce strategies for Gateway Technical College, prior to then working in Chicago with Chicago City Colleges as a vice chancellor and also as a vice president at the YWCA of Metropolitan Chicago. But for me, Racine has always been home. I'm born and raised in the city of Racine, a 1993 graduate of J.I. Case High School. And I still have many community connections in Racine as I sit on the board of the Racine Creative Center, the main project. I'm a board member there. I'm also a board member of the Community Women's Club, and I've been board members or participated previously with the Racine NAACP, the Urban League, and Hispanic Business Professionals. In my current role as the executive director of the Sherman Phoenix Foundation, I am now overseeing the day-to-day operations and leading and guiding the mission and vision of the foundation and the board members. The Sherman Phoenix is a gem in the city of Milwaukee, and the fact that it's not just a marketplace, it's not just an incubator, but it's also a cultural space all in one. And the foundation itself is really focused on continuing to deliver culturally relevant programming, programming surrounding economic equity and empowerment for local business owners, those within our building, as well as those in the community, and really creating some emotional wellness for leaders of color as well.
Fascinating work that each of you do in your own positions. But what's even more interesting is that you've all come together to create this County Equity Task Force. And I understand that some of the things that have kind of kicked off the work of the task force came through in a not so pleasant 24/7 Wall Street article that I think many people have become familiar with in the last year, that said Racine was one of the worst cities for African Americans to live in. And there have been some other indicators of understanding that there are great disparities in the lives of Wisconsin residents, Milwaukee residents, Racine and Southeastern Wisconsin residents of color, based on economics and some other indicators that we have. And so could you tell us a little bit about the work of the task force and what you're setting out to do?
Okay, I'll start with that and then I'll ask Dr. Stacia to give a little bit more input on the motivation behind the actual, the outcomes that we received, the second and third worst cities. But no, for the task force, focusing on trying to really look at some of the things that the county has been providing for our community, Laura, and to see if they're, are we hitting the mark? If we're not hitting the mark, where are we missing the mark at? And being able to get feedback from the community as to what's working, what's not working, so that we can make sure that we're not spinning our wheels. And to be quite honest, make sure we're not throwing, good money at bad, you know, and vice versa. And it's not about the money more so than it's about really the outcomes that we're trying to establish. March 26th will be, we'll be talking about housing, transportation, education, economics, you know, these are some of the areas that we were considered to be the worst in when it came to, you know, to that report. Dr. Stacia, you want to?
Absolutely. And, you know, I know you mentioned that it's become evident within the last year about that report, but some of us have actually been following it for longer than that. I would say the last 5 to 6 years, Racine has topped that list. And so part of what we decided to do as a task force is to not just talk about it, but to actually put some actionable items behind it. Many of the items that are listed in that article, which put us on that list, are items surrounding, you know, economics and opportunities and access, such as access to family sustaining wage or able to obtain family sustained wages, access to education and training opportunities so that they can individuals can obtain employment, you know, to make a family wage, access to safe housing or and home ownership, incarceration rates of people of color. So those are the items within that article that attribute to Racine being placed on that list and unfortunately remaining on that list. And we have climbed in ranking on that list, which is a major concern. So what we would like to do with our event that we do have coming up, the African American Conversation for Better Outcomes, is that we want to talk about concerns, survey individuals that this is affecting, as well as talk about the concerns and then talk about outcomes. Or what are some actionable items that people would like to see or some steps that we can take towards, you know, the long-term goal is to come off that list and better our community.
So let's talk about this event a little bit that you've mentioned, Stacia. It's hosted obviously by the Racine County Task Force. That it is African American Conversations for Better Outcomes. It's an event that, and you can straighten me out in this, it will be an in-person event from 10 to noon at Greater Mount Eagle Baptist Church in Racine on March 26th. Is there, is it only in person? Are you planning any other kind of other way, virtual way that people can engage as well at this time, Pastor Hargrove?
Yeah, it's going to actually be virtual as well as in person. It's going to be both.
Okay.
Yeah, and we are actually pulling all that together now. So it'll be both in virtual and in person.
Okay. And leading up to this conversation, you hope to survey residents. Could you tell us a little bit about the survey and how it would be available for people and who you're targeting for the survey?
Sure. I'm going to ask Ms. Nicole if she would share a little bit more about that. She's the numbers person around here.
So the survey will, it actually is based upon the questions that are created are based upon the data that was shared in the 24/7 Wall Street report. So we really want to hear from our community members, their view on how they feel about living in the city, access to, as Pastor Hargrove stated before, access to employment, housing, as well as educational opportunities. So on the flyer, there's a QR code that community members can download into their phone or take a picture of to upload the survey, or they can access that survey onto the Racine County's website or Racine Unified School District's website. And what we want to do is we want to hear from the community members and really go through the data from the results that we receive back from the survey to determine what their needs are, what their requests are, and what they're asked of. When we talk about access, opportunities, and outcome, What are we providing access for our community members, and what are we not providing? What opportunities are we missing? And then from that point on, the plan is to have future meetings. This just will not be a one and done. And we'll create, as Dr. Stacia Thompson stated before, it will be actionable. We'll have goals that we'll set, that we'll create, I should say, together with the community members as well as with the task force. And come back and progress monitor, and just to see where we are in regards to moving the needle on having better outcomes for the African-American community in Racine County.
Would you be able to share a sample of some of the questions on this survey so people could be thinking ahead?
Yeah, one of the questions on the survey, it asked the question about how pleased are they living in the county? It asks, you know, questions in regards to race, gender, their age, how long they've lived in the county. What is their experience in regards to finding gainful employment? Also, as well as their housing situation. Would they like more resources to go from, you know, renting to home ownership? There's a question, in regards to, are they satisfied with the educational services that are provided within the county?
Anything else about the survey that, Stacia, you might want to add, or Pastor Hargrove, you'd like to add?
You know, while it will be those, you know, general, pretty straightforward questions, it's imperative that individuals take the survey prior to, because that is really going to lead, going into the event, the subject matter experts that we actually have as panelists to make sure that we're adequately addressing all of those questions, as well as individuals, you know, will be able to, you know, make comments on the survey in addition to just answering, you know, the you know, pretty straightforward questions. But again, the importance that if people don't respond to the survey or take the survey, so that we can make sure that we are intentional about having the right folks there to respond to their questions and to the actual items that we're trying, you know, for our outcomes.
And the other thing too, Laura, is, you know, and we were very intentional with this when we talked about it in our meetings. We were very intentional with making sure that we will be asking the questions that prayerfully the community want asked, you know what I mean? And so, as opposed to coming with our own agenda, our agenda is to hear and to listen to what the community is saying is working, is not working. And this survey, we believe, is one of the best tools to do that. So then we can craft the question, to Dr. Stacia's point, we can craft the questions, you know, to the panelists that we do have coming, so they can actually be able to answer some of the questions or provide direction on where, you know, the community members will be able to go once it's done. We want to make sure we're very intentional with that. We don't want it to just to be 2 hours where we're just, you know, pontificating, you know, about a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter to anyone, but makes us sound and look good.
So can you give me a little shape of what that day might look like? So just to reiterate a little bit and review, you will make this survey available. It should be available now as we are airing this program, both on the county website and then on the Racine Unified School District website, and then on flyers that you are making available in neighborhoods around the county, and then you're hoping to gather that data, and then when it comes to the actual day of the conversation, I understood Dr. Thompson to say that you would have most likely a panel of people who might be able to address or discuss some of those data points that people pointed to in the survey, like perhaps transportation people or obviously people from the education side of things. Is that kind of what you're envisioning?
Yes, it is. I think, go ahead, sorry. Nicole, I thought you were unmuted. Go ahead.
I apologize. Yes, we have representatives from all sectors based upon the categories that we are asking the question. So we will have a representative that can answer questions in regards to transportation in Racine County. Our superintendent of schools, Dr. Eric Gallion, is one of our panelists. So he will address questions related to education. For higher education, we actually have Dr. Summers from Gateway College, who will serve as one of our panelists. We will have a representative from the city who will address the economics in Racine County. So we have representatives from all sectors to serve on the panel that can address those questions and the feedback from our community members.
And then when you have the results of the survey, are you going to make them available somehow to the public? Will there be some kind of summary maybe that you would post on the county website?
We for sure will have data that we will share out. As to Pastor Hargrove's point, we are being very intentional on how we're approaching this. And the one thing that Pastor Hargrove wanted to make sure is that we are crafting our questions and all of the information shared based upon data. So just as we have the data that we're receiving to determine next step, we'll be sure that we will share data out with the public as well, so that we want to be transparent and authentic with this. So yes, we will have that data, some data available for the community.
And would there be space on that survey for somebody to bring up something that perhaps you hadn't even thought about? You know, that's difficulty, right? You want people to answer particular questions on a survey that give us insight about their concerns, but there might be something we didn't even think about asking that somebody sees as a real barrier to having a positive experience as a Racine resident. Will there be space on the survey for that?
For comments, yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. While we're waiting to gather that data to launch this first conversation, the first of several planned, I heard you say that you hope to do this quarterly. You all fill a role where you yourselves have been integrated into the community as residents or professionals. You work with the community members all the time in your respective roles. From your vantage point, what would you say are the top three needs of people in our community, people of color in our community, in order to have those better outcomes that you're talking about? Where are your sites showing? What are your sites showing you right now?
This is Dr. Thompson. What I can share is that from a workforce development standpoint, is, you know, I did that, you know, for 8 years with Gateway Technical College. It really, you know, goes to, you know, the subtitle of our flyers, you know, access and opportunities for outcomes. Sometimes there are barriers to assessing family sustaining employment or housing. And sometimes it's just being aware that there are opportunities or that resources exist. It's sometimes it's the way they're marketed or who they're marketed to, and not necessarily to the population that could most benefit from them. You know, this notion that everyone, you know, you need a college degree or thing. That what the truth is, it's not that everyone or all of our high school students need to graduate, you know, with a college plan. Everybody needs a post-secondary plan, and that looks different for everybody and what their goals and what their, you know, their dreams and what they'd like to achieve. So even just making people aware of various opportunities within our local training programs, there's apprenticeships, finding out about programs at Gateway Technical College and many of the certificates, technical diplomas, and associate degrees that they have available. And also, you know, with the four-year colleges and the opportunities there within our own backyard, that you don't have to go far away, you know, to obtain, you know, an amazing education. Such we do have, you know, UW Parkside and Carthage and things of that nature. So some of access, because what we do know is, you know, there was an initiative a few years ago that Racine County had actually in response to this report, due to the number of adults age 25 and older who did not possess even a high school diploma or GED. But just knowing individuals, knowing what opportunities that there were to either obtain their GED and not have the barriers there, but just knowing that there are other alternatives or options to the GED, because the GED may have been what was holding them back to getting gainful employment or to enrolling into some post-secondary plans that they may have had for themselves. So a lot of what we want to showcase, you know, with this event and with our ongoing efforts is, you know, the access to opportunities for post-secondary opportunities, safe housing, home ownership. Is that, you know, on a huge on the list, because where, how can you create one easy way to create generational wealth is through, you know, home ownership and owning property and having that equity available, you know, positive equity available to a family. So I know that on many people's minds, you know, it's what's in it for me. And if, you know, sometimes it's having those access and opportunity for individuals to be able to, take advantage of the resources that are out there, but if they're not aware that they even exist, that's a barrier. And then, you know, something else that is on our docket that is, you know, at the forefront of what we want to get across is juvenile justice. So even opportunities and making sure that we are being adequate with what we are providing for the youth for one, let's be proactive in preventing some of our youth to even going into the juvenile justice system. But once they are there, what are we doing to remediate them?
It sounds as though the conversation is going to be a two-way conversation when you have it, not only being the recipients of information that has come to you through the survey and listening to what people have to say, but also distributing information about where people can access those resources that they may not be aware of as well at the same event. Am I right about that? Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. And that's, you know, you think about access opportunities and outcomes, you know, that equates to equity. So yes, definitely being want to provide resources, because a lot of our community members are not aware of different programs that they have out for home ownership. So we want to make sure that information is shared. Educational opportunities or programs that we have going on within the county. So yes, we will have resources that we'll definitely share with the community members.
And while you're speaking, Nicole, maybe you could give us your vantage point of what you think are the top needs of our residents, given just from your position and your experience with Racine Unified.
I'll just pretty much mirror what Dr. Thompson has said. It's about economics. It's about, you know, building that generational wealth. Of course, we know education is a lifeline and leads to better opportunities and economic, improving economics for families. So I would say definitely education, opportunities when it comes to building wealth. And also, another issue that we have, as Dr. Sasha Thompson stated before, is dealing with our at-risk population, our students that become a part of the juvenile justice system. How do we put preventative measures and to be proactive so that we don't, you know, continue to grow, or I shouldn't say us as intentionally in supporting that prison to pipeline piece, but what do we do to get in front of that so we can steer our children in a different direction?
Right, all important points. You know, you've both mentioned housing and building up personal wealth. The cost to rent spaces is so astronomical that it is difficult, I think, for many families to even imagine home ownership, because it's hard enough just to meet rent, nonetheless save for a down payment on their own house. In your conversations in the task force or otherwise, Has there been any kind of recognition of the kind of unbridled growth of rental costs and the scarcity of good housing for rent in the city? And what do we do in the interim between, you know, with all the families who are living either in substandard housing at way too high a cost, or with housing outside of their own reach, so that they're maybe living with families together to save for their own place? Is there discussion about some innovative things that may be considered down the line for housing?
No, we haven't had deep discussions on those, but that conversation has been had. What we're looking at, Laura, is from the 26th, doing deeper dives in those areas. So we're aware of the astronomical rent payments that people are paying around here, and we're also aware of, you know, the housing issue. We've had those conversations, but not anywhere to the depth that we will have them after the 26th. You know, and only because, you know, there's so many things, as you heard: economics, education, housing, you know, youth justice, issues with youth violence. So we're trying to wrap our head around, okay, what are the main issues that the community want us to really begin to focus on? And that at that point, we'll start doing even deeper dives as to how can we begin to partner with, you know, the city, organizations, you know, Habitat for Humanity, different ones who are actually doing things such as the housing piece. So that we're hoping to get more information where we can do it, more informed and more intelligently approach the situation versus, again, like I said, just throwing a bunch of, you know, just throwing stuff at it and hoping you hit something.
That brings up the question, how do you prioritize? Do you have a strategy for how you plan to prioritize what comes out of this survey and discussion?
Well, I've never like vocalized the strategy, but, you know, we're going to prioritize as we come out of this discussion based off of, what was the hottest topic, you know what I'm saying? And then going from there. And at this point, we need to hit everything, but we know we can't hit everything. So at that point, we'll have the discussion within the group. Okay, what do we make priorities and how are we going to make the priorities, you know, come to be, and then start trying to address them, you know, the best way that we can.
This might be a little tougher question for you, but it bears asking. So while you're about to take on a great deal of work on behalf of residents in the county, to get it from concept to actuality takes a lot of political goodwill. While this position, Pastor Hargrove, has been a vision of the county executive, how much do you think the county board embraces the idea that what you discover and what needs to happen, the short-term and long-term remedies for some things that might come to surface, is going to take some financial commitment from the county? How much support do you think that the task force has for its work?
That you're right, that is a tough question, because I've not really even addressed the situation to the county board. But they have long been supportive of many initiatives that we have attempted within the community to, you know, to make the county a better place. So I don't know, I can't answer that question right now, but just from past experiences, I've not seen them shy away from various important initiatives that we tried to, you know, embark upon. You know, Uplift My 100 being one of them, you know, what it called Starts Now with employment being one of them. You know, so I can't give you an actual answer for that, Laura. All I can say is from past practices, you know, it's always been, okay, what can we do, you know, to get the best, you know, the best outcome? And then, of course, quite frankly, you have to also ask, you know, what's going to be, how do they put it? You know, the biggest bang for your buck, or the best bang for your buck. And I'm not good with colloquialism, but you know what I'm saying.
I do, you know, eventually you're going to have to say, yes, where can we put our money and make the biggest, the best investment for the quickest return and the best return. Now, the other thing that strikes me about the work that you're doing, and thank you all for taking it on for the rest of us in this county, right, is that this is heavy lifting and a lot to be talked about and worked through, and many things to either reform or to create new. How big is the task force, and what kinds of strategies are you thinking about so that the work goes on, right? Because you could really, you can burn out a few really good people, and you're all very busy people in your own respective roles. So how do you keep the momentum going? What's your vision for that?
Well, we keep the momentum going by making sure we don't burn them out, Laura. That's the first thing. But in all seriousness, we keep the vision going, you know, based on the motivation behind each and every individual that sit at the table. It's about nine of us all together that sit at the table, and we look at, you know, okay, how can we best impact this city, this community? And then we also keep the vision going and keep it fresh, but we also have to become very smart and strategic about what we do so we don't burn ourselves out. That's why we have people around the table, like Nicole, like Dr. Stacia, you know, people around table, you know, like we have, you know, our data and analytics person, Travis Richardson, at the table. We have young folk at the table because we want to make sure that when we move forward with things, we can't solve all the world's problems at one time, but we can become very strategic and, you know, and we can become very, you know, surgical and start, you know, trying to hit pieces where we think we're going to be able to make the biggest difference. Nicole or Dr. Stacia, guys, you want to add to that at all?
I would say that we have very committed people around the table. I would say, you know, I can appreciate the fact that Pastor Hargrove was very strategic and making sure he had people who either, you know, in our roles, we live, work, play, and are dedicated to Racine County. And so, you know, as we're formulating our mission and vision and goals, we have people who are dedicated to what we're hoping, you know, for some positive outcomes out of these conversations, out of this work. And again, putting actionable items and actionable work behind them and being committed, you know, we have a vision and a mission of, you know, creating subcommittees to work on whatever comes out of these conversations, and then to involve the right agencies and the right individuals who can carry out this work. So it's not that, as you know, we shared, it's not a one and done. It's going to be ongoing work, and then the conversations continue as we, you know, base everything on data. Once we get the data and can do something with it, or to go then again, work with that, you know, you'll see on the flyer, once the flyers are posted, all of the partners that, you know, the partners in crime that we have for this initiative around the county, that we have the right people, places, and organizations in place to make sure that the work is carried out.
I'm going to speak both personally and professionally. I feel blessed to be a part of this task force. Pastor Hargrove was very intentional about the organizations and individuals he asked to be a part of the task force. And you spoke to, burning out or having too much. From what I've experienced with the task force, I don't believe that would be the case, regardless of the number of meetings or community events that we have. I really feel like everybody on the task force, this is something that they're passionate about and very near and dear to their hearts. So it's welcome work. John Lewis would say, it's good trouble to get into, because it is for the betterment of all. Our focus, and we're being intentional about the African American community, but when one group does better, it benefits everybody. So I would say that this is, you know, truly a blessing. It's work that I think we were all called to do. And we are not, as both Dr. Thompson and Pastor Hargrove stated, it is not, I'm going to use the term willy-nilly, where we're coming in and it's a one and done for any type of show. We're data-driven, focused, laser-focused on having results and providing, as we said, access, opportunities, and outcomes for the community members in Racine County.
Well, thank you. Just to remind our listeners that we've been talking to Pastor Melvin Hargrove, who's the Chief Diversity Officer for Racine County, Nicole McDowell, who's the Executive Director of Racine Unified's Engagement and Equity, and Dr. Stacia Thompson, who is the Executive Director of Sherman Phoenix Foundation. And the three of them are just some of the members on an equity task force for the county that will be hosting African American Conversations for Better Outcomes on March 26th from 10 to noon at Greater Mount Eagle Baptist Church in Racine. And it, leading up to that meeting, residents are encouraged to take a survey about their life here in Racine County. And that survey is available on the Racine County website as well as the Racine Unified website. And I look forward to hearing what comes out of that survey and certainly listening to the conversations on the 26th. So I'd like to thank you all for joining me this morning, and I wish you good trouble with your work.
Thank you much, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for having us.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Support comes from the Carthage College Business and Professional Coalition. Delighted to welcome Rosario Marin, former Treasurer of the United States. You're invited to join the coalition Wednesday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. for a discussion on the future of U.S. and Latin American economic relations, in particular the challenges and opportunities in the relationship between Mexico and the United States. The event is free and open to the public. Learn more at carthage.edu/businesscoalition.
Including Classics by Request with music by Antonio Vivaldi. From his Concerto for Guitar and String Orchestra in D Major, we heard the second Largo movement, followed by the final Allegro movement, third movement, with guitarist Sharon Isbin and Lawrence Foster leading the Luzon Chamber Orchestra. And that was a request from Cynthia Appleton. Thank you. Thank you to all who sent in the requests and that we were able to hear today. Thank you so much. I certainly have a list already growing for next week's program. So get your request in early in the best way online at our website, WPR.org. Coming up next, the Metropolitan Opera's performance of Donizetti's comic opera, The Daughter of the Regiment. I'll be coming back for Saturday afternoon classics and on the playlist around 2:30-ish, I will be here a little before then. We'll start off with some music for Women's History Month, the Piano Trio by Clara Schumann. And then in the 3 o'clock hour, one of the symphonies by Mozart. We'll also hear a couple of performances featuring outstanding women musicians. All that and more. Have a good weekend. Stay safe and healthy. And hope you'll join me for Saturday afternoon classics following the opera. You've been listening to Classics by Request on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Is it possible to attend world music festivals across the globe in a single night? It is on the road to higher ground. I'm Jonathan Overby. Come travel to places that musically intersect with Asia, Africa, India, China, and more. Saturday at 5 p.m. Central on the NPR News and Music Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UW School of Nursing Brain Health Team, recruiting for a brain health research project. Anyone 40 years or older or caring for someone with memory changes is eligible. 608-800-2899.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, NPR News and Classical Music.